Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Flashback Friday, everybody.
We're fast becoming a Friday episode, aren't we, Rob?
pretty soon it'll be, what's it? I need to think of something for Saturday. Send Back Saturday?
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Okay, so Send Back Saturday.
How are you?
Coming soon. Doing really good. I'm very excited about today's. First, before I talk about today's favorite thing, which I'm very excited about, this is a rare one, folks. I get so excited about it. I usually like to surprise Kevin. This time, I had to send it to him immediately. And I'm like, you need to watch this because I'm talking about it and you just need to see what I'm talking about. But before that, did you watch the Broadway special last night on NBC?
I did, and Rob, I I felt like I was a teenager appreciating musical theater all over again for the first time. I loved it.
You know what? Me too. I thought they did a brilliant job.
Were things that I would have maybe thought, well, of course they have to do that because it's commercial.
Oh, because it's current? Is that what you said? Because it's current?
Well, they have to sell it to a TV audience and make money on their commercials. And, you know, they can't just go right to Jagged Little Pill. But my God, that performance was unbelievable. I'm speechless. I'm still feeling things about it because it was just so incredible that the camera got to capture that forever.
Lauren Patton?
Yes. You mean,
yeah. I remember when I saw Jagged Little Pill in Boston when it was previewing, and after Lauren Patton sang "You Ought to Know," the entire audience stood as one and gave her a mid-show standing ovation. And you got to see a little bit of that power last night. If you got to watch NBC's On Broadway, I thought it was very classy. I really liked how it was done. I loved it on the street. I loved it with the rain and the lights hitting the pavement. It was very gorgeous. And I have to say, folks, whoever produced this, I think I just need to compliment you. It would have been so easy for them to say, here's a number from Chicago, and here to sing it is random pop singer, or here is random celebrity. And the fact that they used the people that are currently on Broadway, who probably have not had a lot of film and television exposure, I just thought was marvelous.
I was Googling Natasha Yvette Williams because I was so excited to see her and thinking, wow, I haven't seen her in a while. I love her. I love her work. You know,
She was matron Mama Morton, right, for the Chicago
That's exactly
number.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She killed that number. I mean, it was fantastic.
So I really appreciated that. I really appreciated that. So
and if you,
good
if
on
you
them.
Check it out. Definitely. I was particularly moved, Rob, by Seasons of Love. I was surprised how that sort of resonated in this time. I've always sort of had a love-hate relationship with it, but sometimes out of context, it can be, I don't know, show choiry, perhaps, might say. Do you know what I mean? It could be a little on the nose.
At the end of every choir semester, at the end of the spring semester when everyone was graduating, they usually had the entire senior class come out to sing Seasons of Love. And the solo was
swaying back and forth. I'm step touching.
Step touching, and it looks great, folks. Mm-hmm. And the solo was usually given to the girl that we would call the most most eclectic. She wouldn't be able to sing per se, but she was eclectic and she was emotional. She felt things every day.
Oh, God, that's so good.
But
last night, folks, it was like the medicine I didn't know I needed. And I shed a little tear while listening to it, thinking of the year we've had and just how, you know, I've been in a sentimental mood lately. So I think it sort of fueled that. But I thought it was great. I thought it was a great choice. And you're right. Kudos to the producing team for the choices they made and the risks they took.
Agreed. So congrats to them. If you haven't watched it, I would encourage you to do so. It was really lovely. And I hope maybe they can do, I mean, I hope the pandemic is over and we can all get back into a theater. But if that doesn't happen sooner rather than later, NBC, please do more of these. I hope your ratings were strong. And also another television event that I did not see. Did you watch The Grinch with Matthew Morrison?
I actually I did not watch
it. Neither have I. So
I'm ashamed to say that I should. I need to. Just haven't gotten to it yet.
But I did not see it, but it was nice to see that not even the pandemic could stop snarky tweeting about these shows. So nice to know that the snarky tweets just somehow does not go away no matter how adverse the conditions are. We haven't
seen
anything.
That's what Twitter is for, Robert. That is what Twitter was made for. It was to enjoy, to not feel alone, to feel like you have a like mind out there that is going to make the same joke about the same performance that you are happily, not judging, but celebrating in a perhaps a snarky way.
Can't we just put it away for one day, people? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I haven't seen it yet. Watch, I'll see it, and I'll get onto Twitter and be like, when then?
You can text me.
Hashtag, ugh. No, I'm sure it's, I have not seen it, but I'm like, come on, people. Give us one day. Hey, tomorrow, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will be our trivia. It's our trivia. And Kevin, you just sent me your questions. I'm very excited to see what you're going to be.
It's a good day. You know, I feel like we say that about every decade, but you forget how what great material and shows and scores were in the 2000s.
Yes. There's
everything from pop gum sort of fun hairspray type stuff to really smart writers like Adam Gettle, you know, just breaking the rules. So I'm excited.
It's such a wide range. And remember, again, folks, it's only covering 2000 to 2009. So not all of the past 20 years, just the first 10 years of the aughts, I should say. The aughts. What was your favorite musical from that decade? I'm sure you have
all of them. There's no way I could say a favorite, Rob. I mean, like everything that Adam Gettle wrote, everything that Jason Robert Brown wrote, everything that Michael John Lacusa wrote. Parade. Oh no, Parade was 1998-99. Everything. Urinetown was one of my. I saw that show like five times. I loved Urinetown.
You see, that's where we differ. That's a show that I've never really been able to get into.
Did you see it originally?
Yes, I saw the original cast on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I can imagine it not being so working elsewhere. I can see that.
Because
it was all like based on improv and all of that. But yeah, it's just not your cup of tea.
I have seen other productions where it does not work so well. So I have seen those. I don't know. It's just never been one that I can really grab.
What about title of show? Title of show? Were you a title of show person?
No. The concert was amazing. The concert was amazing. Did you see the reunion concert they did for Actors?
I did not see that.
That was pretty incredible. That was pretty incredible.
All right. I got one. A class act.
I love a class act.
There we go. There we go, folks. I love a class act. Reverse question. What about you? What are some of your favorite shows of the decade?
I love Last 5 Years.
Yep.
I love Last 5 Years. I loved Hairspray. I loved Passing Strange. I loved Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I loved Light in the Piazza. I loved Spelling Bee. That's going to be a year, I think, that always confuses me, which is it was the year that, I think 2005, where it was Light in the Piazza, Spelling Bee, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and Spam-A-Lot.
Spam-A-Lot. Yep.
And Spam-A-Lot.
And Little Women. I invested in Little Women that year because I was on
did
tour
for
extra money. I did. Yeah, I still get things from Little Women. A little tiny, tiny percentage. But it was before they announced Light in the Piazza, before Spam-A-Lot. If you'll remember, Little Women had a tryout. And it was crazy. They had to throw out the score, all of that. But they were early in the season. And I thought, oh my gosh, Little Women? What could Sutton Foster? So your mentor as the director, Susan Shulman. I thought, what could go wrong? This is a hit. I'm going to get rich.
Head on down to the August Wilson, or was it called the Virginia then at that point? It was the Virginia then, right? It wasn't August Wilson.
I think
Wilson.
It was the Virginia.
They named it later, I think, August. Renamed it August Wilson.
But, and I just want to insert my favorite musical of the decade. I forgot. Carol Interchange. That was Carol Interchange.
Oh, of course.
My favorite musical of the decade.
Well, that just goes without saying. Yeah. When was Violet? The 90s?
Violet was 1997, 96 at Playwrights Horizons.
Okay, yeah. Well, so you're going to hear a lot of – will you have a Carol Interchange thing tomorrow?
No, I've already done it.
Don't worry.
I can't do it again. I shouldn't be doing it again.
There is a Carolina Change trivia question tomorrow. So I'm happy
if you didn't. Just play a clip of Sharon Clarke singing Lot's Wife, because then I'll just die.
You'll just be a happy man at that point. Anyway, so folks, come join us tomorrow. We hope it's always a great time. We always love seeing everybody. It'll be tomorrow, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go on our Instagram or Facebook or Twitter to see how you can play. It's pretty simple. It's a $5 donation, and you can always give more. And all of the proceeds, we don't keep any of this. All of the proceeds go over to Project Rescue for specifically Ethiopia, because with all the crazy stuff that's happening in our country, we haven't really been covering stuff that's happening in the other countries.
And
Ethiopia is in pretty rough shape right now. So we're going to see how much we can give to help them. So please come out and help. We always love seeing you.
And you don't even have to turn on your cam if you just want to.
Correct.
Just play. Yeah, you don't have to. It's not, even though it's on Zoom, you can keep your camera off and just play along with us. We love having everyone there.
Oh, yeah. If you've never played before, folks, just so you're aware, it's done on the honor system. So we ask you questions. You don't have to contribute at all. You don't have to vocally like ring in with your answer. So please, we'd love to have you. And it's always so nice to see everybody matched up, you know, and have our own visual world come to us. And I really like that. I also like some of our favorite things today. So who wants to go
first?
Oh,
yes, my friend. We're going to have a lot of fun with yours, so I'll go first with mine because mine's a little more academic.
Oh my God. We're getting smart, folks. Well,
a little bit, because it's always your fault, Rob, because you always have such good favorite things. And I think, listeners, you're probably like me, perhaps. You know, every week you get one of these, or you get two of these a week, and sometimes they're a book, and sometimes they're a movie or something, and you just make a list. I make a list. And I don't always get to the – I mean, sometimes it takes a year to get to the book. Like, I think last week's favorite thing, I had that book for a year. The Lawrence Maslin.
Yeah,
love his stuff. And anyway, so it takes a while to get to it. Well, one of your favorite things is a book I bought, Rob. It's called Showtime.
Yes,
this is a book. You've got a chronology of Broadway and the theater from its beginnings to present, and by Gene Brown. I just want to make sure I say his name because he's just fantastic. Now, this is not my favorite thing, but this inspired my favorite thing.
Oh, I see.
I once again thank you, Rob, for this. Listeners, I know you probably think the last thing I need is yet another anthology book about Broadway.
You need this one
that only goes up to, because he wrote it in 1997, 98. It's the century and before. But I'm telling you, the way he wrote it, what he did, you were so right to feature this, because he doesn't just list the facts like a boring way. You know, when you're reading about the early 1900s, usually I just skim that stuff because it's so many names, it's so many shows, you kind of can't develop a relationship with it. It's just facts, really. Well, he gives you just like he has some tea there. Like, he gives you some of like the details of what went on, like, and he makes it human and accessible. So in the 1920s, for instance, when vaudeville was at its like peak, right before it like, you know, went the other direction, you know, in the decade before, the 1910s, I just got riveted by reading that chapter. And I was really became fully invested in vaudeville in a way that I never cared before. I always knew about it, Rob, because of, you know, lectures I've seen of you. You're such a great teacher, and I've learned a lot by even when I've subbed for you and seen your lectures about that time period. I know historically that the American musical theater is based a little bit on vaudeville. I know that. I know it as a fact, right? But to get the actual understanding of like the people involved, that in vaudeville, these people were like mega stars. I mean, I'm saying like major, major, major stars. And now we don't even know their names. We don't even know who they are, what they did, or anything like that. There's no footage. There's very little footage, and that's all from the 1920s. I went on a journey because this book gave so much context. I thought, oh my gosh, I need to learn more. Well, my favorite thing this week. Yeah. What do you, you want to say?
No, I was going to say you went on a journey. I'm very excited.
I'm excited. And so I said, well, how can I learn more about this and get more context? Surely there must be some sort of PBS broadcast that celebrates vaudeville and will teach me about it. And sure enough, there is. It's an American Masters broadcast from 1997. American Masters, of course, if you're a PBS follower, you know that they go in depth on a great topic. I think my favorite thing a couple years ago was about Marvin Hamlisch, and they go so in depth and in a way that, like, is good for people who are just an everyday listener to material, and people like you and me who love it and know the facts, and they honor us as well by really delving in deep. So they did this with vaudeville. They did it in 1997. It's 2 hours. You can go onto YouTube, type in vaudeville, and then type in PBS, and it'll fill it in automatically and go PBS documentary. There's two you'll see. There's one that's an hour and 55 and one that's 2 hours and 5 minutes. Either or. I always click the long one, but they're the same thing. I think there's a little added in the other, obviously. But this goes, Ben Vereen is the host, and it goes through from the very, very beginning through the downfall of vaudeville, and in such clear human way that you can't help become more invested and appreciate the history of where we've gotten to today, and how now I'm looking at so many things, Rob, and I'm like, oh, that was based on vaudeville. Oh my gosh, that little comedy back and forth and that stupid movie I'm watching, that is exactly based on a sketch. That saying that somebody's talking about, that is based on a vaudeville sketch. I mean, I'm kind of blown away by it and really enjoying learning about this art form in the early 1900s, as you know, but and listeners, you know this, but I just, to reiterate, there was no radio, there was no TV, there was like very little film, and if there was, it was just no sound, but they're playing in the you know, theater. So you had no form of entertainment other than the hundreds and hundreds of theaters across the country that offered like live 10-minute, because they're all 10 minutes, right? Because no matter what, with vaudeville, you knew that no matter what, the next thing was going to be better than the one before. That no matter what, you just waited around because it's going to get better. And we had, like, animal acts. Famous people would tour reading their books. They would have singers. They'd have comedy acts, of course, Weber and Fields. And so filling the bill. And then, of course, where you are on the bill, there's a whole hierarchy to that. So I encourage listeners to check out this amazing PBS documentary from American Masters in 1997. You'll see Jim Havoc talk. You'll see Rose Marie, Bobby Short, the Nicholas Brothers, and the whole all of its old footage. And because it's 1997, it's like 25 years ago. This is, or you know, whatever, 23 years ago. They're closer to that era, so you have so many of the people who were alive then. They're all gone. I mean, and so you still have some of the last vestiges of that time in that era, and what kind of quote unquote showbiz was like. I know what it's like because of Gypsy, but that to me is like a cartoon. And so to hear it explained in a way now that I can appreciate more, especially now that I know more about the history of the art form, it just resonated with me more, Rob. And so, I had a great time. I think that my theme, just like you have a theme this month, I confess, you guys, that my theme might be a couple people, acts that I want to talk about in the future for a favorite thing, because there are some really interesting personalities that we have long forgotten. So, Vaudeville, PBS, American Masters on YouTube. Check it out.
The Del Rubio triplets, is that their names?
No, I wish. No, but I watch them every day because I watch Pee Wee Herman's Christmas special every single day. Yes. My son is obsessed with Pee Wee. So that's a great, that was another favorite thing before. But yeah, the Del Rubio triplets are like a takeoff on like what a child team could be like. You know, they were, I think, in the 40s, I think.
Oh, okay.
But as far as like old vaudeville, yeah, it was a crazy time. So that was mine. What's yours, Rob?
Well, folks, if you didn't listen last week, I'll do a little recap for you. So, you know, I'm trying to battle the COVID 19 pounds that I've put on, and I'm trying to work out a little bit more. I'm not necessarily the athletic type, I know, which is astounding. And I have been looking at old workout videos from Broadway stars and celebrities to see if there's one that I can follow and that I can get into. And every week I will watch.
I like the phrasing of that, Rob. I love the phrasing of that. Sorry to interrupt you. But just I like that I look at them to see if there's one that you would like to. But I wonder how many you look at before you find the one.
I have not found the one yet. I have not found the one yet. So I have been looking for a long time. And last week we did Do It Debbie's Way, which was the Debbie Reynolds workout video. And then I stumbled upon a workout video that I had never seen before. I had no idea that this person had even made a workout video. And I became obsessed with this video. And I had to send it to Kevin ahead of time, which I never do because we like to surprise each other. But I was like, you need to watch this just to make sure that I'm not as crazy as I think I am, because this is a bizarre. You're doing it. Kevin's actually doing the exercises. Folks, This is a workout video.
I've got a minute here. All it takes is 5 minutes, Rob.
Here it comes, folks. I don't even know where to begin. The great Sandy Duncan, who I heard was the best Roxy Hart in Chicago ever. Seriously, I heard she was the best Roxy Hart ever. Peter Pan, and she was a television actress. I think one of her big claims to fame in this time period, the 80s and 90s, was, if you remember, there was a TV show, I'm going to get TV folks here, a show called Valerie, which starred Valerie Harper. And Valerie Harper was fired from her own television show. And how do you fire someone from their own television show? Well, they did it, and they changed it to the Hogan Family, and they brought in Sandy Duncan to replace her. So this is like, we're talking like, this is late 80s, early 90s, Hogan Family / Wheat Thins Sandy Duncan, everybody, okay? Well, she does a workout video that I had never seen before, and it's called the 5-Minute Workout Video, which is ironic because the tape runs 55 minutes, but it's a 5-minute workout video with a man that I'm like, who are you? Where did you come from? And what do you two do when the cameras are off? I know she's married, but there's some chemistry there.
There is some like real.
She's working with a guy named Kevin Carlisle, who is a silver fox. He was a Broadway choreographer. He was Tony nominated for choreographing Hallelujah Baby. And Kevin Carlisle also directed and choreographed Do It Debbie's Way. So he's got some really great experience working in the workout field,
fitness,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it was really more of a it's a fitness video, Rob, but I would say that it's definitely theatrical. There were sets and everything, and you might want to,
there were playlets being performed. It was like it was like, you know, Neil Simon had written Workout Suite, you know, and like every it was just that. The 5-minute workout, folks, is not really a workout. It's stretching, and it's stretching that you can do while you're sitting in a car or sitting at a desk. Sandy Duncan
in line at the bank.
Oh, we're going to talk about the bank and the grocery store, okay? Because it's terrifying. The sets, by the way, are all painted beige, and are the most bizarre sets you've ever seen in your life. And they go out there, and this is hard.
They look like children's cubes, like kids' cubes.
It's children's cubes, like, and this is
blocks you play with. There's no specificity at all. They look like just like neon blocks.
If you saw the revival of falsettos, it's pretty much that set. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I thought.
And it didn't work for falsettos, and I don't know if it's working for the Sandy Duncan 5-minute workout. So the 5-minute workout, folks, it's hard to explain, but you're going to do this with me. You can watch the video, but in the meantime, the biggest workout is jazz hands. So I want you all to put your hands in a fist. So you're fisting, right? Like that. And then on the count of three, make little fists. And then you're going to open your hands as wide as you possibly can, like jazz hands. And you're going to stretch, 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 bring them back into a fist. So that's the 5-minute workout. That's it. Just do that 9 times a day. You open your jaw really wide too. That's another big one. She wakes up. She has Sandy Duncan has a bedroom set done in lovely early 90s pink.
She wakes up
where she like, I'm using air quotes, folks, wakes up. And
oh,
it's like,
hey.
And she's like, if you're like me and you hit the snooze button 5 or 6 times while you're just laying to get up, you can do exercises like this. And she makes scrunchy faces and wide faces. It's pretty much freshman drama class is what she's giving you. Now, the gentleman I really like, his name is Kevin Carlisle. Like I said, he's the director choreographer. He and Sandy, I think, are flirting.
Oh,
they are
flirting. Any kind of double entendre joke you can find, they are mining that for all it's worth.
They do one exercise, folks, where they put their hands on their hips, and it's hip isolation, and they just move their pelvises. Kevin's doing it. I wish you could see it. They move their pelvises back and forth and back and forth.
It's like that John Travolta meme. Have you ever seen where he's wearing that workout one from the early 80s? It looks like that. That's what they're doing.
It's
really close, Rob. Like,
they're
really
very close to each other. It's a little uncomfortable, but they seem to be having a nice time, so good for them.
Yes.
The brilliance of this video, though, is that each exercise takes place in a different location. One is a bus stop. One is a car. One is a grocery store, where in the middle of the grocery store workout activity, somebody goes, where are the Wheat Thins? And I was like, oh, that's funny, because Sandy Duncan was the spokesperson for Wheat Thins. And then I did my research, Kevin. I did my due diligence. Wheat Thins was the sponsor of this video. It was Nabisco Wheat Thins proudly presents Sandy Duncan's 5-minute workout.
So that doesn't make any sense at all.
So Wheat Thins was the sponsor.
Where are my Wheat Thins? They had to have that. It was in the contract. They
it was
had
in
to
the
say,
contract.
Where are my Wheat Thins?
But folks, my favorite one, and if you can't watch the whole thing, just skip ahead. I think it's about 6 minutes in. Is the bank? You know, before ATMs, people were online at the bank for hours and hours and hours, which makes sense. Sandy Duncan plays the teller. And the guy, Kevin, is in line at the bank, and he looks at the camera, and he says, you know, there are some activities you can do at the bank while you're waiting in line. And you go, okay. And he goes, you can do shoulder rolls. And so then he and the whole group start doing shoulder rolls. And you're like, okay, that's normal.
That's not bad, yeah.
And then he goes, and then you can stretch. And out of nowhere, the entire bank line turns into a Busby Berkeley number. And they do that thing where, like, they put their hands out to the side, right? And then they sway back and forth. And you're like, if I saw someone do that at the bank, I would call security. Oh, but it gets better. He's like, he goes, sometimes he's like, you can do knee lifts. Now, he doesn't give you like a regular knee lift. He literally does a West Side Story dance in the middle of the bank. Then he gets up to Sandy Duncan, gives her a check, and she does her 5-minute exercises in receiving the check. She does this scrunchy face of, at how big the check is. And then she does like neck rolls. And then, as if this is not bizarre and confusing enough, at the end, after he's done with the Sandy Duncan, he looks at the camera and goes, and he's like, to send positive energy, he's like, talk to the other people in line. And he looks at the other people in line and goes, I feel great. I was like, you're going to get yourself in trouble. They're going to think
bizarre.
You're a crazy person. Get out of there.
Bizarre.
So, folks, I have also found it to be the easiest exercise routine because I think I burn more calories laughing at it than I actually do doing the exercises. Folks, and once again, you know, in our descriptions now, you can click the link. And it'll take you right to the video, and it'll also take you right to Kevin's vaudeville video. So you can click this, and you can just watch this. It is the best. It's 9-minute compilation of the video, and it's kind of incredible. It's one of the best things I think you're ever going to see. So if you don't like to sweat, and you don't like to work out, and you like to watch dirty innuendo, head on over to Sandy Duncan's 5-minute workout, sponsored by Nabisco Wheat Thins.
And then take your Wheat Thins, sit down, work on your 5-minute jazz hands, and watch vaudeville
and watch
the American Masters on PBS.
It's going to be
on YouTube.
It'll be fantastic. So that's mine. Kevin has vaudeville. We hope you have a wonderful week. We hope you enjoy our interview we did with Barry Bostwick this past week on Monday. Very excited. Kevin and I just had an amazing interview with Charlaine Woodard, who was in Ain't Misbehavin' and has had this amazing career as a playwright and actress. And she's our guest for Monday. And it's a really special interview, I feel. So we hope you tune into that. And we hope we see you on Trivia. At Trivia on Saturday, 8 p.m., check our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to figure out how you can play along. We want to see you there.
Yeah, join us. We like having a good time. Yeah.
All right.
Rob always does some amazing video clips, too, folks. You want to see these. These are really, really fun. He always, always has the random stuff that we haven't seen in a while. We all get to watch together. It's fun.
I think there'll be some nice ones this time. I'm very proud because I've always been able to get a goulet into every single one. And this one is
every
no exception.
It's always so delicious.
He's always in prime form.
All right, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.